So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
All right, let's move on into the Word of God. I want to talk to you this morning about discipline determines destiny. Discipline determines destiny. Now, everybody gets nervous when I start talking about discipline. I don't want discipline. I know you don't, baby, but it's all right. It's going to get there. Discipline determines destiny. And now here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse 23. And I'm reading from the, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I have it in my Bible, but with the English Standard Version, but I want to read it from here first. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Well, one translation says disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. As followers of Jesus Christ, it's only right that you and I desire to fulfill the purposes of our lives. Now, let me ask you this, and it's not a trick question, but how many of us have a dream that God has put in us, a dream of what you want to accomplish? Anybody else? You have a dream. All right, now, let me tell you this. All of those who did not raise your hand, you need to spend a little time with God so he can birth a dream inside of you. And the dream sometimes changes. Well, Pastor, what happens when we get to the dream? Then you begin to dream again. Amen. You see, the dream 10 years ago was building, or 13 years ago, was building a building like this. And then we built that building, and what happened? Then we began to dream again. We began to dream to fill it up. We began to dream to pay it off. We began to dream, and then we expanded and bought this other building over the other side. What's the dream now, Pastor? To fill this up, to finish that, to complete, to expand the gospel, to cause people to find focus for living. That's our dream. But can I tell you this? And I want you to hear me close. The dream doesn't work unless you work. I'm going to say that again in case you're not listening. Bump your neighbor. Say, listen up. The dream doesn't work unless you work. Now, the problem with Pentecostals is this, is we think all we've got to do is pray and it comes to pass. But that is not the case. You got to pray, you got to work like it depends on you, and you got to work like you know and pray like you know it depends on God. All right? That's good preaching, Pastor. But in order to do so, in order to receive or to acquire that dream that God has given you, it's going to require discipline on your part. Without it, the distractions of this life interfere with our goals. And to explain this point to the Corinthians, Paul, the Apostle Paul, used an illustration from sports. Like athletes in training, we must also exercise self-control and restraint, not living aimlessly, but with a definite purpose or prize in mind. The more clearly the goals are defined, the better we understand which disciplines we need in order to achieve them. So you got to know what is the dream that God has put in your life. Simply wanting to fulfill the purpose of God in your life is not enough. Simply saying yes, God, is not enough. Simply going, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, is not enough. You've got to do something. You've got to do something once you decide what you're going to do. It is discipline, not just desire, which determines your destiny. It is discipline, not just desire. Desire will take you further, or the habit will take you further than desire. Discipline will take you further than desire. I desire to lose weight, but my discipline is not real good when it comes to Snickers. How many understand what I'm talking about? Discipline turns ability into achievement. That some people have ability but no discipline. And even though you've got ability but you have no discipline, then you're not going to achieve what God has called you to achieve. Now, point number one is this: self-discipline and divine discipline. There is a difference. Can I tell you that some of you, not any of you, but the 11 o'clock crowd, some of them would be delivered tomorrow if they just had discipline in their life. Because some of us don't need deliverance. Some of us just need discipline. Well, Lord, but Pastor, I had somebody contact me. Do you believe in demonic, or casting out demonic spirits? Yes. I do believe that. But just because you have a problem doesn't mean that it's demonic. Pastor, I got an eating demon. Whoo, I'm ate up with it. I think I got several. I am possessed with a lot of them because I eat all the time. Come on, somebody. But see, self-discipline is personal training that develops self-control and character, resulting in an orderly and efficient life. Now, when you do self-discipline, church, you know, that's why I tell people that fasting ought to be a part of your life. Because you're telling your flesh who's in charge, not your flesh telling you who's in charge. And the same discipline that it takes from you not eating when you're hungry because you're fasting for God is the same discipline that it takes not to take the pill, not to go on the porn site, not to do those things which are tearing your life apart. You've got to have some self-discipline. But it comes from the Holy Spirit. Divine discipline is God's correction in our lives when we step out of His will or disobey Him. Hebrews 12:5 says, "So my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him." Well, I ain't getting no help, but I'm going to preach anyway. The Father uses divine discipline to get us back on the right course. That anytime judgment or discipline comes from God, it is to correct your course. See, that's the problem of today, is that we don't understand discipline. We think discipline is a bad thing, but it's not. Discipline, it means to correct your course. Amen. The problem is we use punishment, and that is backward looking, but discipline is forward looking. I'm going to put you back on track so that you don't do this again. I'm going to give you something to cry about. Come on, somebody. Because you ain't going to act like this if you live in my house. Good preaching. I'm going to preach anyway. I don't care if you like it or not right now. But in contrast, self-discipline is what you and I must practice in the power of the Holy Ghost. Why is self-discipline necessary? Self-discipline is essential for godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little." See, that's why I don't exercise. I'm kidding. "But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." 1 Peter 1:15. "But as who are called, you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct." See, that's discipline. Aren't you glad that somebody has some discipline around you that they don't, you know, my wife tells me sometimes, "Ronnie, when you're up there preaching, you need to exercise some discipline over your mouth." And I say to her, "Honey, I do. Can you imagine if I wasn't disciplined in my speech, the things that would just come out of my mouth?" Come on, somebody. She has no idea that how much I edit. Glory. It is required to overcome the three enemies that you otherwise hinder your destiny. One is the devil. Number two is the worldly systems, or another one. And the third, Paul calls it flesh which is our carnality, are our natural desires. I wish I had a, you know, some people go, you know, you ever meet those people? Don't raise your hand if you're one of these people. You know that, well, I eat just so I can stay alive. Not me. I live to eat. And when I'm dieting and when I'm trying to change my way that I eat, then, you know, I get very bored. Where you want to go eat? I don't even care. You're going to get a piece of meat, maybe a vegetable. That's it. No roll, except for these. No, I'm trying to get rid of the roll, so I won't eat a roll. You know what I'm saying? And then the waitress comes, they'll come in, would you like some bread? I would love some. But shut up and get away from me. Cause discipline, right? Carnality means that there are desires within each of us that do not fit into God's plan. That's what carnality is. Carnality actually takes you away from God's plan. They do not fit into God's plan. These can include legitimate desires that must be properly controlled. All right, let me break it down. Food is a necessity that must be controlled. Amen. Boy, you know, people shout real loud. What are you doing, Mike? I'm not ready. Why are you pushing on me, bro? Many people shout when I talk about drinking. They shout loud when I talk about addiction. When I talk about sexual immorality, yeah, preach. But what about overeating? Because you got to eat, but you still got to be in control. Good preaching, Pastor. How about rest? You need to rest. But some people go to the extreme. Too much of either food, which you need, rest you need, but too much of it can be detrimental to your destiny. Well, the Lord's called me to a time of rest. No, He did not. You got fired. That's what happened, baby. You wouldn't do your job, and so you got fired. Come on, somebody. Companionship is also good, but without discipline, companionship can be an unhealthy dependence, dependencies can result that you can't function unless you have somebody in your life. I got to have a man. I got to have a woman. No, you got to have Jesus and let Jesus bring the other to you. Because if you're not careful, that will be your carnality, is a relationship that I've got to have a man, and then you'd be praying, oh God, look at this man you gave me. He's driving me crazy. I'm going to kill him. You better know. Listen, quit searching for Mr. and Miss Right, and you just get right. You just get right and wait for God to bring them. Sexual intimacy is a gift from God in terms of intimacy in the confines of marriage. Sex inside of marriage is God's gift. Thank you, Jesus. But it's got to be self-discipline controlled. Because if it's outside of marriage, then it is sin. Well, surely God wouldn't send me to hell for this because it just feels... No, you're going to straight to hell if He comes. In the middle of the act, boom, you're going to hell. Yeah, see, my wife's going to make me have to edit that when she's here. But how many knows you need to hear that? You know, let me just move on. Let me just hit this. Because some people, oh, Pastor, I just can't stop. You know, if you're young, I just can't stop. Let daddy walk in and see if you can't stop. I promise you, you can stop. And if you're older, well, I just didn't get married. Because it's wonderful. You know, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Because God's like, no, no, no. Yeah, there was a man. When you get married, yes. Confines of marriage. That's where it's at, all right? Many things in life, thank you. Come on now, go with me. Many things in life aren't inherently wrong. They just need to be properly controlled. You know, when I was single, but I got saved when I was single, and I would pray, my sister helped me with this, thank God the Lord. I would pray, God, because I wasn't always, you know, I wasn't always the pastor. And I was, Lord, just help me with these girls. Lord, just take this desire away from me. And my sister said, no! Don't pray that way. And I said, you hellish devil. I'm trying to stay pure. And you're telling me not to pray that way? Because she said, no, your wife will be upset when you get married. She said, don't pray that God takes it away. Pray that God helps you control it with self-discipline. So let me tell you, I don't know why I'm even going here, but I'm going to go. Let me help you with how to be self-disciplined. Number one, you don't be going over to each other's apartment late at night by yourself. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to pray together. That's the most intimate thing you can do. Pray. Oh, the Holy Spirit led me. No, he didn't lead you there. Let me move on. What to expect? Point number two. What to expect from a lack of discipline? Without discipline, we'll often step outside of God's will, justify our indulgence, and experience the consequences. I don't know why. Oh, you want me to name them? Pastor, I don't know why I'm in jail. Oh, well, because you sold drugs. You stole stuff. You murdered somebody. Come on. I mean, you want me to really? Pastor, I don't know why my marriage is a wreck. Well, because y'all didn't communicate. Uh-huh. You had separate lives. Y'all were just roommates. You didn't have enough intimacy. Oh, I'm on to have sex. No, I didn't say sex. Intimacy is different than sex. Oh, I am preaching this morning. Ooh, child. Come on, somebody. I feel a little swag coming on. Yeah, all right. Listen, poor health choices, financial debt are common examples of lack of discipline. I don't know how I got this type 2 diabetes. You ate too much. I'm borderline. I know, man. I'm binding the devil in the name of Jesus. Get the bread away also, you know. Well, I'm just believing God. You keep eating whatever you want to. Well, you're going to keep believing God. Because God don't heal stupid. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, God don't heal stupid. I didn't say God don't heal stupid people. He just don't heal stupid. Now, when a lack of discipline, how about credit cards? Companies love undisciplined people. Ooh, I got $100 left on my credit. I got $100 left on my limit. Let me go see what I can get for $100. Yeah. Oh, I'm good. I'm just paying a minimum payment. You'll be there 27 years. To avoid such trouble, you got to budget wisely, honor God with your tithing, and teach your children to do the same. You know, there's a couple, they'll probably be in the 11 o'clock service, but they used to tell me they had my financial trouble all the time. They go, well, we don't have to use a budget, we're tithers. I said, it doesn't matter you're a tither, you still have to use the 90% blessed left. You still got to use it wisely, good preaching, Pastor. A lack of discipline is harmful in other areas of life also. Reckless speech. My wife's going to go, yes, I know that's right there. How about chronic tardiness? Always late. How about unnecessary turmoil in relationships because you say things that you shouldn't say? Someone who is undisciplined will probably waste time and energy. Someone who never follows a schedule will more likely won't complete tasks. Perhaps the most important consequence of an undisciplined life is that it compromises the believer's testimony and the ability to witness to the fullest measures. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. Amen. You know, my philosophy in life is balance on everything. And about 6 years, 6 or 7 years ago, some of you were here that I was a little heavier than what I am today. And you know, and I'm not preaching on health, but everybody understands this. But I started getting convicted because I was unhealthy in my body. I'm preaching, you know, be healthy in your spirit, but I wasn't healthy in my body. And so I began to watch what I ate. I lost 40 pounds and I've gained 25 of it back, but I lost 40 pounds and I'm trying to get that off. But you understand what I'm saying? I started trying to be more disciplined because, you know, I want to be able to minister to my fullest capacity. Good preaching, Pastor. Number three is this: what is required for a disciplined life? Well, you got to have a definite goal, and you or a definite purpose. What is your purpose? What is your goal? Because the goals and purposes of your life that God has given you helps keep you on track. Goals clarify what disciplines are needed to achieve. What disciplines do I need to do if this is my goal? If I want to be 300 pounds, then I know what I need to do. I need to eat Snickers every day. That needs to be my discipline. Right? If I want to be healthy, then I've got to be a little bit more healthy. If I want to be spiritually fit, then I need to do those things that cause me to be spiritually fit. If I don't want to be powerful, then I just do nothing because it will happen. How many knows that you ain't got to do anything for weeds to grow in your garden? I have planted grass, but I ain't ever once planted a weed. But it's always there. Detach from things that draw you away from your goals. Sacrifice those desires which pull you off course. See, there are some things I just can't do. I'm not going to put myself through it. There's some places I'm not going to go when I'm trying to eat right. Right? There's just some places there's some things I'm not going to do because they pull me off of my purpose. They pull me off of my goal. When Jesus decided to go to Samaria, he had to decline other opportunities. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. So pursue your objective with diligence. Goals of great value demand perseverance. Goals of great value demand perseverance. Man, I had to go after Sherry to get her to marry me. But perseverance paid off. I was focused. That's why I drive 3 hours just to take her to lunch. And then drive back 3 hours. Because I knew what it was going to do to her. I walked into that bank she was working at. And she went, what are you doing here? I said, I just wanted to take you to lunch. Are you in town? No, I drove down just to take you to lunch. She turned around to everybody else. Oh, my God. Well, sure. Let's go to lunch. My swag came back. Come on. I took her to lunch. Got back to the bank, kissed her on the cheek. Always leave them wanting more. Yes, sir. Drove myself back to Mobile, Alabama. Be consistent. Discipline is ineffective if it is practiced one day and neglected the next. I mean, come on. I ate broccoli one time. Shouldn't I be healthy? It was smothered with cheese and chocolate, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Successful people, I want you to hear this. Successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. Let that sink in. That's why I didn't know it was a self-help class today. No, it is. It's going to help you spiritually. You know, it's amazing how many people don't read the Bible till they get into trouble. Ooh. I can't find nothing. Because you ain't been reading. See, those who have been reading it properly, those who know the word of God, when the trouble comes, we ain't got to go look at it. It just comes to us because it's in us. Hey, baby. It just comes to us, and we begin to quote the word of God. Ah, if God be for me, who can be against me? Everybody, but it doesn't matter. Good word, Pastor. Don't let moments of failure defeat you. Don't let moments of failure defeat you. Well, what do I do when I fail? You get back up. A righteous man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up. Keep trying, because consistency will develop. Say no in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the indwelling presence of the Spirit is available to empower you to be self-controlled. Now listen to me. I don't know who I'm talking to. Before I got married, I'm praying, Lord, help me with this self-control in these girls. And so Sherry come up, and she came up to see me, and she left that afternoon. And that night I went to church at another church, because we wasn't having church or something. I'm not sure why I went to another church, but I went to another church. Oh, I do know why, because I can't remember her name, but I went to that church. And I went to that church, and she invited me home. You know, and we were just, you know, she was the pastor's daughter. Yeah. And we went home to watch a movie before Netflix and hang out. Come on, somebody. So we went home to watch a movie, and we were watching a movie, and she kissed me, but I didn't even ask for it. She just laid one on me. And I said, well, all right. And self-discipline said, you better get up out of here. And so I excused myself and went and got in my car and left. Oh, well, you was weak. Yes. Yes. I was weak. And I knew if I stayed. Quit lying to yourself. Oh, I can handle this. No, you can't. Listen, the Bible says in every sin, let me just give you this. I don't know who I'm talking to. The Bible says in every sin to stand up against it, except for sexual immorality. It said, run! So you got to get up out of there. Now, say no in the strength of the Holy Ghost. Point number 4 is this: rewards of discipline. Being self-controlled has many benefits. For one, life becomes orderly and less stressful. Life becomes more orderly and less stressful. When our goals are clear, we can easily set up each day's priorities and work to fulfill God's purpose for that life. I mean, you know, people, listen to me. When people go, hey, you got plans? You better be careful, because they finna give you some plans. You got plans for today? No. I need help digging a ditch. Doing so helps us be productive, which typically leads to us feeling good about our accomplishments. Come on, somebody. Discipline. Now, hear this closely. Discipline in one area often strengthens our self-control in other areas. You ask anybody, you know, and I didn't ask for it, but, you know, Courtney, she's a marathoner. She's getting ready to run her first marathon, I believe, right, in a little while. But as soon as I said that, she's going. Because if I run, then I eat better that day. You know why? Because I ain't wasting this. I don't even like running. I hate running. I like running to the donut store. But if I'm going to run, I'm not going to waste the effort that I just put out on eating wrong. Am I hearing me? So being disciplined in one area helps you be self-controlled in other areas, that we may find taking better care of ourselves, getting the right amount of rest, developing deeper relationships when you become disciplined. Listen, discipline can also make a positive impact on those that are around you. Observing my dad's diligence, for example, motivated me and still motivates me to be the best that I can and continue to do. My dad was not good at a lot of things, but he was a hard worker. And so I'm consistently challenged to be a hard worker in my own life. See, today the foundation he laid in my life is part of what motivates me. The discipline that he had to serve God, to do what needed to be done, even though it would have been easier in this life to do something different. How many know serving God is not always easy? Doing the right thing is not always easy. but it's always commendable and it's always still the right thing. Succeed as adults. Listen to me. You can't fix every problem for your child. Because if you do, they're going to grow up and expect you to fix it. You know, that's one of the problems, in my opinion, of our day, of our country, is that nobody believes that there are consequences to your actions. So I do what I want to do. There's no respect given to authority. So we do whatever we want to do. You've got to come to a realization that everybody needs self-control, and that comes through discipline. No matter how blessed you and I may be here on the earth, because of practicing self-control, we must always remember that the most significant benefit of discipline isn't found in this lifetime. It is found on the other side. Glory to God. All right, well, how do I start being disciplined? I'm going to give you three or four things real quickly. How do I start being disciplined? Number one, read your Bible. Every day. I don't understand it all. Well, read it still anyway. And with all the different versions, well, I'm scared of getting the wrong version. Honey, if you just get some of the Bible in you, you'll be all right. Just get some of the Bible. Because if you'll just read the Bible, it will help you. Here's what one dude, old guy said to me one day. He said, "This book will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from this book." So read. Here's another one. Pray. Oh, I pray every day. No, I'm not talking about, "Lord, thank you for this food." No, I'm talking about pray. And if you don't think it's hard, I'm going to give you a challenge. I did this a few years ago. I challenge you for a 3-minute prayer. Just spend 3 minutes in the presence of God. If you want to go big, how about 5 minutes or 10 minutes of just reading and praying? I promise you, it'll help change your life. You'll realize how hard and difficult it is also. Here's another, number four, three, tithe. Now, I'm a tither. Tithe. I tithe on a regular basis. And when I say regular, every time I get a check, every time I get money, I tithe on whatever I get. Why? Because it helps me on self-discipline. Number four, attend. Come to the house of God. How many knows it took discipline to get up this morning? The last two nights, for whatever reason, not last night, but the former two nights, I could not go to sleep till 3, and then on Friday night, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I had to be up. On Thursday night, I had to be up in 3 hours, so I got 3 hours of sleep and was up. And on the next night, I was up 4 hours. In 4 hours. Last night, I got a good 6, so that's good for me. But my alarm, right before my alarm went off at 5 o'clock, I woke up just boom, and I looked at my alarm, and it said 4:59. And I took my phone because I knew my alarm on my phone was about to go off, and I took it, and I thought, I haven't slept good in a while, so maybe I'll just put it at 5:30. Why does this feel so? And then you make it spiritual. Thank you, Jesus, for rest. Oh, thank you, Lord. No, I went ahead and got on up. But I did lay there. So it would have been so much better, easier for me. But I'm self-disciplined. I attend. I get up. See, I don't want to do like Pastor Steve and have to have the 8:30 service wake me up. I want to be awake. He's not in here, but I don't know where he's at. But y'all tell him, I don't want to be like that. I want to be awake. Amen. I want to be ready to go. When y'all get here, I want to be ready to go, man. Hallelujah. So these are just four easy ways that you can start helping being self-disciplined. Do you have my last one? I loaded it back at the end. But the challenges of discipline cannot compare to the blessing of reward or the value of your destiny. Amen. And what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that some of us are forfeiting our destiny because of a lack of discipline. Why won't God use me? He wants to, you won't be disciplined. You know, it takes discipline. I've shared this many times. Let me just do something real quick. I've shared this many times here at the church. But I had a lady. I still don't got in. I had a lady one time when I was pastoring in Bluntstown. She said, "Pastor," she said, "the Lord has given me the desire to play keyboard or piano." I went, "Really?" Because I'll play it. And I said, "Wow." She said, "Isn't that amazing?" I go, "I wouldn't quite go amazing." I said, "But apparently the Lord don't know how to play the piano." She goes, "But I've desired to play all of my life in this." All of a sudden, poof. I go, "Well, why don't we get some discipline?" And I showed her a couple of things. I said, "You go work on that." "I don't have to work on that." I go, "If you're going to play the piano in my church, you're going to work on that." "Well, I just won't do it." And that's how so many of us are. The Lord says, "I want to work on you. Do this." "I don't want to do that." "Well, doing that will help you get this." The reward of discipline cannot compare to the value. You know, if God will help me and y'all don't do something stupid like kick me out, this October, I will have been the pastor here 25 years. I know, I started when I was 12. No. It's okay. Thank you, but I wasn't saying it for that reason, but thank you. I've been the pastor for 25 years, and people, sometimes they come to our church and they see what God has accomplished here and things. And they'll say, "Well, I could do what you do." And I said, "It's not a matter of can you do what I do now. Are you willing to do what I did and what I still do in order to be relevant and in order to minister to people?" The reward for the discipline, I think I'm at number 32 or 33 in 25 years where the Church of God wanted me to leave this church and go to another church, of a larger church of some kind. And I kept saying no. Why? Not because there wasn't great opportunities. I just knew God called me here. But the discipline had to take place for me not to say yes to good things, so I could say yes to God things. And at times, I remember several of the churches that they offered me, man, that was just such a great opportunity. So if I had not have had discipline in my life, I might be out of the will of God somewhere else trying to fulfill my purpose when that's not my purpose. Just because something looks better doesn't mean it's your purpose. Just because something pays more does not mean that it is God's will for your life. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own destiny? Boy, I feel the presence of the Lord in this place right now. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have done in my life and what you have done in the life of this church. Lord, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice that they would realize and recognize the need for discipline and understand that each one has a destiny, but they will not reach it without some discipline. God, help us to see it. Help us to realize it. And then give us that anointing, Lord, that Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in this life so that we can fulfill our destiny of a good father, a good husband, a good friend, a good employer, a good employee. Whatever the case we find ourselves, let us do it with excellence. In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, let me give you that opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, would you, and you want to, would you just lift up your hand? You can put it right back down. I see those hands. God bless you, honey. God bless you, sis. God bless you. Anybody else? Would everybody pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and make me whole. Help me, Lord, with self-discipline, so that I may serve you and fulfill my purpose in you, in Jesus' name. Come on, stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand of praise.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.